message of faith? Well, the word is all faith, really, but sometimes we need to just hear faith, and our faith that we have, which is a gift from God, that we live in this life, that we overcome and that we walk by faith. We need to hear that. We need to be encouraged. And I've got a title here today for those of you taking notes. Do you know what you are doing? Do you know what you are doing? Might sound a bit strange, that title, but hopefully the Lord will reveal what he's saying here today by this. Do you know what you are doing? And I want us to turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Of course, this is the great faith chapter, as we know, read it many times. But in verse 8, it speaks of faithful Abraham. And in verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And that's really what I want to hone in on the latter part of this. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And that's why I call this today, do you know what you are doing? Do you know where you are going? These are all questions that we're going to look at today. And we're having a smile, aren't we? Because it sounds so familiar, doesn't it? But one of the questions asked very often from people to us, something like this: what do you expect to do? Do you know where you're going? Do you know what the Lord's saying or doing? And many times, we don't always have an answer, do we? God has placed us in this walk where, in the natural, we don't have an answer for what man's asking. And God's got a reason for this, as we're going to look at later on. But if we are to receive our inheritance, which we're believing for, as overcomers, destined for the throne, first fruits unto the Lord, we don't know where we are going. We simply know we're on a journey. We have heard the call, come out from among them and be separate and follow me, says the Lord, which of course is what we do. Come, follow me. Exactly what he said to the disciples is exactly what he said to you and to me. He may not have said it in the precise words, but your whole life and walk reveals that responding to come and follow me. And when, of course, the Lord spoke to the disciples, when he said, come and follow me, he didn't plan out a program. He said, well, come and follow me, and I'll tell you what we're going to do for the next 3 years. We'll be doing this and we'll be doing that, and at the end of the year we should be doing that and so forth. Nothing at all. Unlike what man likes to do with all his programs, everything organized, wants to be in control, you know. And of course, any job that you would go for, if you go for an interview, one of the things they like to tell you about the company is its plans, its future, and what it's going to be doing, and hopefully in the next 10 years what it's planning for, and so on. All, you know, hoping that it's going to work out. And even in the world it doesn't always work out. So how much more for the believer? God will not let us work out a plan. And yet we try and do it. We're trying to plan out things, we're trying to plan our future, our life and so forth, but he won't let us do it. And he has a way of allowing it to be fouled up and to go drastically wrong, in the complete opposite direction, in fact. So do you know what you are doing? That's the question that we're looking at today. You see, to be asked these questions is probably the hardest thing to explain. And sometimes I get this, people know that I'm a pastor to the assembly. So what do you do? What is your future? What plans do you have? How are you moving forward as a church and so forth? And you know, I find I've got nothing to tell them. And you know, it doesn't look very inviting, does it? It doesn't look as though, you know, we're organised or an organisation where, you know, it appeals to people to bring them in, that they can get involved with. You know, when I was in the church, in the denomination, they were planning everything. They were planning the future, they were organising future events, planning, organising, evangelisation, planning, witnessing, you name it, there was a programme for everything. And we had so many on various different committees as well. And that's how church life presents the gospel. It presents the kingdom. Well, when you think about it, how can we plan the coming kingdom of God? How can we plan that we're sojourners simply passing through? How can you plan what you reveal in the book of Revelation that is being revealed and unfolded? How can you plan that sort of thing? You can't. How can you plan God, where there's no beginning and no end? The Alpha and the Omega. And yet man in his pride and audacity tries to think he can do it. He tries to think, you know, he can put God in a box. You know? And you've got the world that's doing exactly the same. And you've got a lot of professing Christendom doing exactly the same. But you know, there's a warning that is attached to all of that. When you try and plan, when you try and control the world, its future, its events, which of course what the New Age tries to do, because you see the enemy is a demon of control, witchcraft. So he's the god of this world at the moment till the Lord comes, so it's control. And he controls the systems. And he controls the systems, the world systems, by money. That is why the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's that that we need to look at. It is that that he uses to control mankind, systems, and so on. And what he doesn't realise is that man thinks he can control. I'm reminded of a story, we all know it, a fairy tale, of Aladdin and his lamp. And you all know what the story was about that. And every time he rubbed the lamp, the genie of the lamp came out and says, "I'm the genie of the lamp, ask of me anything and I will grant your wish," and so forth. You know, and that's how we sort of view it, with control. You see, Aladdin thought he was control, he could control this lamp. The problem being is, when you let the genie out, you can't get him back in. And that's the problem. And that is what's happening. Man thinks he's in control. He's in control of his demons, he's in control of his giants and so forth. But the problem is, you can't get that genie back into the lamp. And that is why God will not let us plan. He will not let us organise. That is why the Bible absolutely forbids going to fortune tellers, going to soothsayers, anything that where you can try and get insight about the future or your life and so forth, is absolutely forbidden because of this very thing. Because it undermines who is ultimately in control. It is God. That is why it's rebellion. It's witchcraft, you see. It deliberately goes against what God has predestined for each one. That is why we're to walk each day by faith. And that day, God will provide the manna, everything within that food spiritually, for you to be sustained and kept for that day. It is a sin to start worrying and thinking about next week or next year or so on. And yet we still do it at times. And fear and unbelief will do that. You see? And so because we walk each day by faith, we've got very little to tell people when they ask us about, well, what is the future of your assembly? What are you organising? What are you aiming for? And so forth. There's not a lot you can tell them. Not a lot you can tell them. But you know, I'm quite pleased about that. And I'll tell you why. Because all these churches are all organised and everything. That hinders them from sharing the real message of the gospel. When you've got nothing else to give them, there's only one you have got to give them. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. And to share that good news, and that sin has separated man from his maker and creator. That disposes us, if you like, of being focused on what the gospel and its good message is about. And yet you'll hear so often engraved with that message, and you hear it in evangelists and organizations. It doesn't take long before you hear their huge organization, their huge outreach, and what they're planning to do next, and planning this and everything. And then, of course, at the end of it, always comes the begging. They need the finances of which to finance this and so forth, which all undermines how the principle of Abraham and you and I that were called. We're called to come and follow me. And he gives nothing else. He's not going to tell you anything else. Just come and follow me. And it's a lifetime and walk on that simple call. And we mustn't lose sight of this, brothers and sisters. However, we need to be careful that we are not complacent in this, but that we're willing to go out. Because as we've read there in verse 8, and we're looking at the latter part of it, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That principle very often is working in you and I as we walk daily by faith, which is interesting. And we need to have a right attitude in this. If your faith is wondering, or you're wondering what's happening next, you'll never be able to go out and trust the Lord. If you're asking questions, or you're wanting signs all the time, or whatever it is. Nothing like that at all happened with Abraham. It simply says, and he went out, not knowing. And a true step of faith is that you step out not knowing. You can't explain it. You can't tell anyone. You don't know what the end result's going to be. You just know that God will be faithful. Let's take the example with the salvation of our family, our loved ones, and so on. You don't know. All you know is God is going to be merciful and save them. But you can't plan their lives, how it's going to happen, because it'll be completely the reverse. And very often, as we know, they seem to be hardening their hearts even more in the natural. But we know. And therefore our faith, our belief in the Word of God has caused us to step out. We went out on that promise, not knowing what the end result is, where we're going, what road we'll be going down, what trials will come. We just have moved out, just like with Abraham. But your attitude needs to be right when you're moving forward. In other words, when you get up in the morning by faith, do you see an opportunity set before you to go out in this world and walk it by faith? Because what this does, this builds your faith and it gives you that confidence. And that's where the enemy tries to rob us. He tries to rob us, oh, it's another day. I suppose I better confess this is the day the Lord's made and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, why bother? And we all battle with that sometimes. And therefore, the enemy wants to try and rob you of your confidence of this walk that you have by faith with the Lord. And confidence, of course, above all, on the promises of God's word. And of course, we've all gone through this. I think one of the things that the enemy is really, really working overtime with the body of Christ, that is true believers, he's really trying to work a depression, just an apathy, just a depression. Oh, just leave me alone, you know, I'll plod along in my own way and so on. And it's just this lethargy, this apathy, just this feeling heavy. And that's exactly what the enemy would want. It's because we're losing sight of stepping out each day in the unknown. When we wake up, let's have this attitude, Lord, whatever's happening, I'm stepping out today in the unknown. But I'm not doing it on my own. I'm with you. I've got no answers for this. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where we're going to go. I've got no answers if ever anybody asks me. But I know that God's with me and he will lead me and he will guide me. And that's all you need to do. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to get in all these arguments or whatever it is. Jesus never tried to explain himself. Certainly he didn't on the night of his betrayal. He said very, very little. They were trying to trick him. They're trying to get information out of him. Here it is, the people want him crucified. And he wasn't trying to justify. He wasn't trying to say anything at all. How could he tell the people, you're crucifying God in flesh? I mean, how could you explain that? But that was what was about to happen. He knew where he was going. He was destined for the cross. We know we're destined for the cross by our cross that we take up daily and we follow him. But we can't explain anything else other than that. And that's really how we walk. Let's look at Luke chapter 2 verse 22. Luke chapter 2 and verse 22. Luke 2 and verse 22. Let's see what this says here. Now when the days of the purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Hang on, I've got right. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. 12:22. Forgive me. Luke 12, verse 22. We're going to trip down Luke, aren't we? Luke 12:22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. And he goes, life is more than food and the body is more than clothing and so forth. He says, don't even consider it. Don't try to understand it. Don't try to explain. One of the things I learnt through this litigation that I recently have gone through, the questions that the lawyers were asking me was virtually impossible for me to answer. I had to depend so much on the Holy Spirit to answer their questions, not only for my life and walk as a Christian, but for my mother when she was alive. They don't understand it. This was why it was in many ways an attack on our Christian walk, on my mother's Christian walk. The powers of darkness were working sadly through the family, attacking, you see. And they are trying to analyze, they're trying to understand, you know, how we use money that God gives us for the kingdom of God and what it goes toward and everything. And I found I was bombarded with all these different questions, things that they wanted to know and everything. And some of it I just couldn't answer it. And I wasn't even about to try and answer it. And in the end, they sort of said, you know, I knew what their conclusion would be about me and probably about my mother. Very naive. Which, of course, is quite patronising, isn't it? But I thought, that's the world. They can't fit me in a box. I don't fit in to the system, to man's ordered life and mind and thinking. And this is what you are and will be if you're a disciple of Christ. If you're in industry or in work, they will try and fit you into their system, into their box that's for you, but you don't fit into it. And it's the same with everything, because you're sojourners passing through. And we can't even give an answer to it. We can't answer their questions. They're as good as saying, well, why is it you don't fit in? Why is it you don't slot into the system? And you can't give them an answer. And praise God you can't give them an answer. What a deliverance. And I'm not going to give them an answer. And Jesus wouldn't give them an answer. Because we're up not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. We're up against demons that are trying to control. This is why I say you've got to look beyond. And then you see the spiritual thing that is working, you see. And this is why Jesus said to the disciples here, as I've read it, he said, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Are you still worried about your life, your future, what you do, or how you come over, or this or that, whatever it is? That is the deliverance that God is working in our lives, getting us free from worrying about me. I don't want to worry about me. Because me is my own worst enemy. And look at the great deliverance. Look at the good news of the gospel. He says, I'm delivering you from that worry and anxiety about yourself. Don't worry about yourself. I created and made you. Am I not able to look after you and to bring you through? You see, by getting free from that, we then can see greater things of the kingdom. And all the while we're still consumed in ourselves and worried about ourselves, you cannot see what the kingdom is really about. And that's what he's trying to do with us. And you see, as you get delivered from this, you're going to find, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. But I know God's in control. And I just follow him. You see? The same as Abraham went out, not knowing. We go out. That's what he wants of us. It means you don't let the things of life concern you. Before you did, you simply go out and just walk this day and what pertains to it, exactly like Abraham did. And on that basis, God perfected Abraham's faith. Quite simple, really. But we make it very complicated, don't we? Do you ask God what he is going to do? Do you ever ask him what he's going to do? You see, God only reveals to you who he is. He isn't going to reveal to you what he's going to do. All he'll ever reveal to you, who he is. And that's what he's revealing today. He's revealing to us who he is. I am faithful. I've started that work. I will complete and finish it. And I'm not going to answer your questions when you're asking me, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to do this? When are you going to do it, Lord? And so forth. Have you ever noticed the heavens are silent? I can't be the only one, surely. Absolutely. And in time, you know, when we start sulking and we fall out with God because he's not going to tell us what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, then in time, in his mercy and grace, he starts to reveal himself, doesn't he? And show us yet more of his sovereignty, his greatness. And you're soaking it in, you think, no, he's not going to answer it. Forget it. Just go out and trust him. And in the end, after he's done that work in us, we find, what do? We step out, just like Abraham did. That is the principle every day. That is what it's going to be. That is how he set it in motion, and he ain't going to change it. But I'll tell you something, that going out in obedience, what a blessing that is going to be. That causes Jesus' heart to delight. That is what he loves, is simply just to go out each day, face that day by faith. And you're uncluttered from all what you try to plan or try to work out, or all that fear or that anxiety and whatever. Your mind and heart is at peace with God. And that is such a blessing. Such a blessing. Believe me. And this is why he wants us just to believe that he's still the same yesterday and today and forever. And faith, you will just go out trusting that he is faithful. So don't ask God what he's going to do next, because I can tell you, he ain't going to tell you. You see, he's getting us to a place where we're not surprised at anything he does. Are you still shocked sometimes? Are you still sometimes offended by God, what he will allow? Well, if you are, God is getting you to that place where you will no longer be shocked or offended by anything. Now, God permits things, as we know, because he's always got a bigger picture behind it all. He has a different alternative, a different motive other than man or whatever it is. So I want to try and bring something up that shocks us at the moment, certainly in the world. And believe me, I don't make light of what I'm about to say. Believe me, I don't. But I'm being honest with you, when this all started happening, it did shock me profoundly. But we know that through ISIS, one of the atrocities they do is beheading. Absolutely barbaric. That shook the world, didn't it? When it first started coming out and they started to show videos actually of what they're doing. You couldn't put words to it. However, God is permitting it, allowing it to happen, because there's something greater behind the scenes he's working in all of that. Now, I'm not saying that we become anaesthetized to these things where, oh, it just doesn't touch me anymore. It's not what I'm saying. But God doesn't want us to be emotionally and psychologically shocked to the point that it causes me to react, turning my eyes and heart away from God. That's what I'm on about. Because these things sadly are and will happen, and are happening. We're in the end times. But he is bringing us ultimately to a place where we're not surprised at anything. We are on the verge of World War III. It's looming. It's building up. Everything is getting ready. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Now, is this going to sway us? Is this going to take our eyes off the Lord? Or are we in a place where, okay, it's happening, it's building up, but it doesn't surprise me? Why? Because God has already told us. We've already been warned. We're being prepared. This assembly and our gathering together is preparatory. It's preparing us. This is why I keep saying our fellowship, our prayer meetings are so vital. It's preparing us for what is to come on the earth all the while the Lord tarries. Because he's going to take the church, he's going to take the first fruits. But until then, we're still in this world and we're going to hear, we're going to see and so forth. These things are unfolding. But they're not to surprise us, because we're being warned. Why is this not to surprise us or cause us to react? Because there's always behind that demons of worry and fear and unbelief. That's why he doesn't want it. Because the moment you react to whatever you hear or see, there is a demon that's going to attack you, and therefore it weakens you. It takes your time, your energy. And this is why the Lord walked fearlessly in every situation, because he was in contact with his Heavenly Father and he was able to move through those situations. We know clearly because we see it in the Gospels. And not only was he able to move through those situations, but his very presence was often healing and casting out demons and saving and so forth. That is ultimately what he's doing with us, you see. But worry and unbelief is such a distraction. But not only is it that, but it's disrespectful to God. It's disrespectful when we're not believing him, when we think of what he's done for us. Will you let it go? That's the question. And will you go out? Yes, you might be hurting. Yes, it may have gone wrong when you stepped out before. Yes, you may be battling some fear and anxiety, but the point is, God says today, will you let it go? And will you go out in faith this day? We have a choice. And if we're not going to let it go, then you ain't going to go out this day and walk in faith, fulfilling what Abraham did. So we have that choice. And God, this is why God's working with us, both to will and do for his good pleasure. He's working his will that it comes in harmony with our will, for that very principle that we, whatever it is, I will let go and I will walk this day just like Abraham did. As I say, it's so easy. That's why we miss it so often, you see. So will you go out this day with the Lord? That's the question we're asking. And you'll go out and you don't know what you are doing. You don't know where you're going. You've got no answer to it. But all I know is I'm going out today with the Lord and meeting with him. But I'll tell you what, there's something very exciting about that. Something very refreshing. There's something new when you haven't planned it out yourself, but you know what God's going to do and you know he's going to be faithful. I'll tell you, that's quite a walk, you know. That's why children sometimes, they love it, don't they? When they've got a surprise, or it's their birthday, and you don't tell them. And they're waiting, you know, they're so eager. Oh, God, tell me what you're going to... No, there won't be a surprise otherwise. You see, they love it, they get all excited. Well, it's the same with us, same principle. God says, I'm not going to tell you, but come on, we're going to go out somewhere today. That's exciting. That's different, you see? Praise the Lord. So we've got to learn, haven't we, to go out with him. We've got to learn to go out through emotions, through feelings. We've got to learn to go out if there's obstacles. And oh boy, are there obstacles. There's an obstacle every step of faith that you take. There's always a mountain there. There's always a giant looming somewhere around, or whatever it is in the natural. But he says, you're going to come out today? Well, I'll only come out if you get rid of that giant, or you remove that mountain. Sorry. But he's not going to tell you that, you see. Because that's what we do. When we're asking questions, or we're asking what the Lord's going to do, we're really saying to him, you're going to move that mountain, Lord, aren't you? When are you going to move it? There's a giant there that's opposing me. When is he going to go? Not telling you. Just come out with me today, you see. Are you going to go out when sometimes you're confused? And sometimes the enemy tries to confuse us, doesn't he? In various different ways. Or are you going to go out with him when there's wind and there's earthquake? When it seems all the elements are against you, or whatever it is. Or the ground's rumbling under your feet, or whatever it would be. Are you still going to respond to that voice? You're coming out today? Are you going to follow me? Or are you going to stay behind? Are you going to go out when there's lies? When people are lying, or they're lying about you, or you feel a bit confused, you don't quite know what to believe, or whatever it is. Well, are you still going to step out, knowing that there's no lying God? See? Or when there's control, and often we control this deception, are you going to be affected by it, or are you going to go out today? That calling that he said to Abraham, he's saying the same to you and I, and so on. How about betrayal, if you've been betrayed, or whatever it is? Will you still step out and follow him? These are all obstacles in the natural. Sickness, that's one, that's a difficult one. You know, sometimes when you're not well or you're hurting, are you going to step out, move out today with him? Financial difficulties? Oh boy, that's a huge one in the world today. But are you still going to step out today and follow him? You've got no answers. People are going to say, well, are you going to pay this bill today? Or are you going to pay this bill at the end of the week? I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no answer. I don't know. But all I know is I'm going to step out today with him. And he's the one that I know provides. Have you had bad news? Oh dear, who wants bad news? I mean, it gets to the point now when you talk to people, you see somebody in the street, sometimes you try and avoid them because you think, if I stay long enough, I know bad news is coming out here. You know? Dear, dear, dear. Are you still going to step out, you know? You know, you come to the point of your faith where there is nothing between yourself and God. That's ultimately what he's doing. Whatever the situation, whatever is going on, I walk by faith and nothing is going to come between me and my God, because I step out each day by faith. Wind or shine, winter or summer, whatever the report, whatever is said, whatever's going on with the children, you name it, whatever the boss is saying, I choose to go out. Because that is what he is saying. And that is what he says to every saint. He said it to Abraham, and he's going to say it to you. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And not only him, by the way, his whole family. Everything. So it wasn't just him. They were all going to have to walk by faith. But God responded to the head of the family. And that's the point. And that is how you and I, brothers and sisters, walk. Try and change it. Try and ask God. And he's going to be silent to you. And all God is ever going to reveal of himself to you is his sovereignty, his greatness, who he is and always has been. Because that's how we get a faith in God. You will never get faith in God when God tries to explain to you about faith. It's completely contrary. See, man will try and do that. We'll try and do that. But God won't do that. This is why many times when they came to Jesus, Jesus didn't give them the answers they were looking for. What he did look for was to see they were believing, having faith. And we know that. There's countless stories of where Jesus didn't answer their question. And certainly didn't, as I said earlier, in his betrayal. And nor do you. You don't have to explain anything. God hasn't saved you to explain yourself, to excuse yourself. He hasn't saved you or I for that at all. You just say to them, come, follow the God that I follow. Step out in faith and you will see he's faithful. And your example, the way you walk, will show that, will influence, you see. If you're walking that way. The disciples saw that. Is the way Jesus walked with God. And they gave up in asking questions and so forth. Because he never answered it. I mean, he did, but he answered it not in a way that, you know, they they wanted it answered. And it would be always in a way that would reveal his glory, his greatness, his power. So one of the questions very often people will ask you, what do you expect to do? Or what are you doing? What are you doing in Full Gospel Assembly? What is your vision? See, as a pastor, probably you don't get that so much, but I get that from people sometimes, from church people. Well, what are you involved in? What are you up to? You know, what organisations are you a part of? What are you affiliated to? All these worldly terms. And I can't answer any of them. And they sort of look at me and think, oh, you poor soul. I know what they're thinking, you see. And I think to myself, God, Lord, won't let me explain. He won't let me try and explain anything. Because there's nothing to. I can't explain this assembly. These meetings, how do you explain them to people? You can't. The only thing you can say to them, come along and find out for yourself. That's all you can say. So don't feel bad about it. Don't get embarrassed about it. Don't get in bondage. Because I used to get in terrible bondage over this. I used to think, well, this is an absolute failure. My ministry is an absolute failure. You know, and God wasn't answering my questions. And all he kept showing me more was his greatness, his power, his might. And of course at first I thought, well, I know all that. I've studied it in theology. But of course I only knew it in the head. You see? Oh, I tell you, God's got a way. See, he's so way past our ways. His teaching and the way he deals with this is way, way, way past what man does and so on. So that is how you walk, brothers and sisters. You haven't got to excuse it. You haven't got to try and explain it. God will live his life in and through each one of us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. Your life, your consecration, your walk is going to show that way to people and the world. the time God's finished with us. And finally, look how God worked with faithful Abraham. Look at the faith that he had at the end, willing to offer up his heir, his inheritor. And that was a big thing in those days. That was no light thing. That was genealogy going to be passed on. That line through Isaac was going to be the line for Messiah to come. And he was willing to sacrifice that, surrender that. So God at that basis said, right, well then I'll show you now what I can do and will do. Because if man, flesh, is willing to do that, see, God doesn't turn a blind eye to that sort of thing, you see. That is why your sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2, is of a great price in the eyes of God. And he never turns his back on that. He does not turn his back on those that daily take their cross up and follow the Lord. He honours it. How do we know he honours it? He honours it with resurrection. You see, our Heavenly Father is a great Father. And he is a Father who respects. He respects faith. He loves faith. As we know, Hebrews 11:1, faith gives something for God to work with, like the potter who must have that clay in which to make that vessel. So our faith does the same. Never forget how far we go in this walk in consecration. We still come back to faith, simply believing God. Because it's on that basis you step out, you go out each day with the Lord and meet that day. Amen. Amen. Father, again, we bless and thank you. We thank you, you encourage us, Lord, you help us. When at times it does outwardly feel heavy and it gets hard, and it just seems the enemy is just getting won over us and taking over, you're there, speaking the word. Your light shines forth and just divides the darkness of the enemy. And you've done that today, Father, in our lives. And if you've shown us, Lord, that our faith is simple, it's simply going out, just like Abraham did. We don't know where we're going. We have no answers. We don't know what you're going to do, but we know you are faithful. For you have promised, and we have all the promises of God that we can glean and stand upon and believe upon. But even those promises, Father, we must not organize, we must not work it out in our minds or anything. Even with the promises, it's still a stepping out in faith in the unknown, knowing that you are faithful, that you will bring us through. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you, Father, for this meeting today. Thank you, Father, for our brothers and sisters who've opened up their home that we can come here and be blessed today. We don't take any of these things lightly, Lord. They are a blessing from heaven. And Lord, we thank you for all the saints who come into the room. Father, I pray you'll bless them also, preserve and keep them by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this precious word that we take into our hearts. And Lord, whatever our state, whatever our circumstances, whatever is going on, whatever, Lord, we just go out this day with you and walk with you, knowing that nothing separates us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray you bless, preserve, keep each one of us till we assemble again. We ask this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. Blessed be your name.
Who shall...
separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Shall persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword from the love of our Lord? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Shall persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword from the love of our Lord? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Yes, who shall?
Thank you,
Lord. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Wonderful. Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be evermore your own. Never let my heart grow cold. Never let me go. Let me be yours and yours alone. Sing this again. Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be evermore your own. Never let my heart grow cold. Let me be yours and yours alone. Amen. Father, we thank you. You are with us through every trial. And Lord, we know that each of us are going through different trials and testings. Lord, we remember our sister Mary Louise, what she is going through, Father. But Lord, we continue to confess that you are faithful, and that through her trials she will see that stepping out daily, walking with you. And Father's others who are going through trial, testing, whatever the situation, Lord, Father, may we just step out knowing you are faithful. And whatever fears or unbelief or anxiety that is in the way, Father, we thank you. You are removing it. You are setting us free, Lord, so that we are free to step out each day with that walk with you. That's what it's about. That is what fellowship is about. I believe that is what Jesus meant when he calls us friends. A friend walks daily with that friend. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you what lies ahead of us. We have the greatest future set before us as overcomers. And Lord, not only that, but every trial, every warfare, whatever it would be, we know the victory has already been won. Oh Lord, you're making these things a reality to us. Not just something that's theological or we just hear in a sermon, but you're making it also real, because faith is real and you are real. And our whole life and walk as Christians is real. It has reality. It has substance. And so, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for our meeting. Until we assemble again, in Jesus' name.